Welcome to another episode of The Freelance Entrepreneur. Today we talk about stress and anxiety, as well as having a grounding technique at the end to help you with any stress or anxiety you may be suffering from. I'm pleased today to welcome Ruth Friedman to the show. Ruth is an executive and life coach specializing in managing stress and building resilience. Ruth works with both businesses and individuals to become more effective professionally and personally, and to live life more fully. Ruth is currently based in Brussels, but works with clients from all over the world. Ruth, welcome to the show.
Hi, Daniel. Nice to see you.
So I think it'd be useful to first start off by knowing a little bit more about you and how you got started in training others about stress and anxiety.
I'm from the UK. I started out life, have a degree in bachelor's degree in physics. I have a master's degree in environmental planning. I spent most of my professional life as a project manager in different contexts. So starting out in corporate IT and then in software consultancy. And then with the environmental planning, I was then running environmental projects on and also recycling projects. Eventually, I got more and more interested in working with people, and I did some work for the UK Youth Service. And then life brought me to Belgium about 15 years ago.
How did you end up in the coaching world?
I'd been doing a lot of personal development work for my own interest, because there were a lot of things that I wanted to change and succeeded to change in my life. So then I started doing a variety of different professional trainings. Slightly before that, I'd done a very long 2-year intensive personal development journey. At the end of that journey, we got to reflect on, so what's the next step? And I realized that I wanted to give something back. So ever since then, I've been thinking about how can I use what I've got to share with other people. And then a little while later, I went through my own burnout as situation with a not-for-profit. And that gave me pause for reflection. And I started to think about my own situation. And I mean, because basically burnout is chronic stress. It's what happens if you get too stressed, you very easily end up in burnout. And then I was working with yet another process. So I've got a lot of processes behind me. And the process that I was working with as one of its foundational tools turns out to be a tool that is very supportive of countering stress and building resiliency. So that's kind of how I came into it. And more recently, I've gone through a process of training as a professional coach. So I'm combining all of the different things that I've got in when I work with clients.
Because I know that stress and anxiety is only a part of what you deal with, but that's the topic that we're going to be covering today.
Absolutely.
So perhaps let's start off by you telling us a little bit more about stress and anxiety generally.
So I'd like to start by differentiating between what is stress and what is anxiety.
Okay.
So stress is a healthy, natural, physiological response to a situation that involves change or challenge. And in a well-functioning human being, we have our moments of stress, and then we get pause and we can calm down. So a typical stress reaction is often known as the fight or flight response. So we stand our ground or we run away, and then we calm down and everything goes back to normal. However, in today's society, there often isn't enough time to calm down before the next wave of stress arrives, and that then becomes a problem. And as I mentioned, it can lead to burnout. Anxiety is created in the mind. So anxiety is kind of chronic worry. So if you're somebody that worries a lot, then it can flip over into anxiety. But the interesting thing is that the symptoms of prolonged stress and anxiety are quite similar, typically. And yet at the same time, we've each got our own individual response to stress. So for instance, some people eat more, some people stop eating. Some people sleep all the time, other people can't sleep. Some people get super calm and chilled out as a way to kind of deny that there's a problem, and other people get really agitated and there's stress in their family life, for instance. So it's very individualized, but there are certain trends that we can see. something like 85% of people consider that they suffer from stress regularly. And it's especially common for people in the, you know, kind of under 30. So that's a worrying sign for the future.
I was going to ask about that. I mean, a lot of people attribute the increased or alleged increase in anxiety or stress levels, a lot of it to social media. Do you have any comments on that, or what are your thoughts on social media generally and perhaps its effect on people's anxiety stress levels, perhaps by comparing themselves to others who are in similar situations but might be doing a bit better than they are?
What I see is that social media is a place that we often go, and myself included, when we're not feeling very good about ourselves and we distract ourselves. It's like you can binge out on, you know, watching Netflix or television or hanging out on social media, and social media is addictive. So you're scrolling through and you want to get to the bottom of the page. And of course, with Facebook, you never get to the bottom of the page. So it's very addictive. The way I see it, going onto social media is part of the freeze response, which is another physiological response. So from my perspective, social media doesn't cause stress as such. It can cause anxiety, because it's like you start worrying about, oh, well, this person is doing this and I'm not doing that and I'm not as good as them. But it's all mind stuff. So it's anxiety related, worry related. And for me, solving the issue of anxiety is it's more complex, because you're kind of working with the mind. So you need tools that can unpack what's gone on to create anxious behavior. And behind every behavior is a mindset. And often the mindsets are deep in the unconscious. So by talking about possible mindsets and checking in with the person, you can bring it to awareness. And awareness always brings choice. So that's the fundamental process that we go through, is by talking about stuff to understand what's behind it. And normally, or I want to say always, there is a very good reason why you've come up with a mindset that you have, based on something that happened to you probably a very long time ago, that you develop a strategy that was very creative at the time, but then it tends to get fossilized and we behave as if we're still in the situation that we were in a long time ago.
You've sort of touched upon my next question, which is, you know, why is it important to talk about it? I know from personal experience, I find it quite difficult to open up about stresses and anxiety generally. Just as a general question, why do you think it is important that we talk about these things? Is it helpful to your clients who perhaps are quite resistant to talking about it? Does it help them when they do finally open up?
So one of the things talking about it does is it helps to normalize situation, because especially with something like anxiety, we think nobody else knows what this is like, and we feel really alone, and I couldn't possibly talk about that, people will think I'm weird or whatever, and that tends to accentuate the problem. So the very fact of talking, it helps to build a social connection, which is one of the things that calms down the nervous system. So that's one piece of it. The second piece of it is what we've already touched on, is that by talking about it, we get more of an understanding about it. And then it gives us tools that we can start to make different choices, because we've got more awareness about it.
What are those tools that you mentioned in terms of combating stress and building resilience to it?
So some of the tools, when I speak about them, may sound really, really basic, but in actual fact, they're incredibly effective. So right now, for instance, you know, we're doing this podcast and I must admit I'm just slightly nervous. Yeah. So at the same time as talking to you, I'm aware that I've got my feet on the ground, you know, and I'm just taking a moment now to feel the connection between my feet and the ground and the support that's there for me from the chair that I'm sitting in. And I'm just checking out the environment. And these are all things that help to calm down the nervous system. So technically, we talk about orientation. So I'm orienting to my physical environment, and I'm also orienting my physical body. And that brings there's a sense of spaciousness that, yes, you know, I'm in this moderate, slightly stressful situation with you on this podcast, and, you know, life is good. It's a sunny day, all the trees are in blossom. and I'm enjoying my space. And that helps to calm down the nervous system.
Is this called, it's called grounding? Is that correct?
So it's called, different people call it different things. I call it grounding. Some people call it centering. Other people call it grounded presence. But it's some people call it orienting. And it's like these days, there's so many different people working and everybody has to come up with their own vocabulary and their own methodology, but they're all basically the same.
What are some of the techniques that people can use? You mentioned being conscious of, for example, the position of your feet on the ground or your environment. Are there any other good ways that you found that maybe have helped clients in the past?
I'd like to tell a story of one of my clients. She started coming to me about maybe a year and a half ago. So she's a woman, I think she's in her early 30s. She's a high potential and she works for a large multinational company. And she's a scientist doing research into products. And as part of her work, she has to do a lot of presentations. And when she started to come to me, she told me that she had these pills and that fairly regularly she'd pop a pill and then she'd be okay. But she didn't feel good about resorting to chemicals to manage her state. So she learned to give herself this process where it takes 10 minutes to really get into it and really become aware of your environment and your physical body and everything that's going on. So that already gives you a sense of distance from a new perspective on the fact that there's this aspect of you that is about to give a presentation. And you know, we carried on working on different topics. She was integrating it. So every time before she went to give a speech, she'd do this grounding process. And most of the time, it was better. But every once in a while, it would still come up. But one of the things she realized is that she's not the only one that gets nervous before giving a presentation. She understood that nobody was judging her, because that was her thoughts at the beginning, that she was being judged for being nervous and blah, 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 blah. So nowadays she goes, oh, well, I'm a little bit nervous and I know that by the second slide I'll be fine. So her anxiety hasn't completely gone away, but nowadays she's comfortable with the levels of discomfort that she has. So it's not like we suddenly stop being anxious or we suddenly stop being stressed. Because actually that wouldn't be healthy, you know. Stress is a natural physiological response to dealing with challenging situations. So we need stress. It's positive. But if it's overwhelming or if it's blocking us, then it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
So I want to give another example on the anxiety side. And that's something that, you know, especially at this time with all the lockdowns and everything, I myself have been feeling quite anxious about a lot of situations. So I kind of tuned in with this method. It's called focusing, where you actually get to listen to what's going on inside your body. And I realized that there was a part of me that was saying, hey, Ruth, you know, this is a difficult situation. And instead of like pushing it away and pretending it wasn't there, which is what I was doing before, I realized, oh, this is a part of me that can really help me. So now, you know, because I've recognized that there's this part of me that wants to help me, it's helping me make sure that, you know, when I've been outside, I'll come back and I wash my hands. It helps me to make sure I don't touch my mouth, you know, all of the things that are going to help protect me. So I've engaged with a process and I've engaged with that part of me to a positive effect, rather than it just kind of like nagging me saying, oh, this is a different, you know, it can be quite negative and it's often anxiety isn't constructive, but when you turn towards and find out what's behind it, then you can turn it into using it in a productive way.
Another potential difficulty with stress and anxiety is not necessarily dealing with your own, but also helping others with theirs. Now, I know that you've worked with businesses before in perhaps helping staff who are suffering from stress and anxiety. Are we able to talk about that a bit and also how you went about speaking with business owners as to how maybe they could help?
From what I've seen, talking with, you know, individuals and also with companies. So as part of one of the trainings I did a research project into burnout, and I spoke with about a dozen companies based in Belgium, and I got a lot of insights into how it's playing out in companies. One of the things I found out was that, you know, often stress is caused by challenging relationships, and it's caused by unrealistic expectations of how much work a person can do. So that translates into people being overloaded with work. You know, they're given deadlines that aren't realistic, and they're told they've got to achieve X, and they've been given a date, and then they feel a lot of pressure because everybody wants to satisfy the requirements of their job and their boss. So those are the key areas that I address, you know, and if you give somebody a new piece of work, you have to create a space where they can put something else down, because we can't continue doing more and more and more and more. We're not machines, we're human beings.
So do you have any case study examples that spring to mind that you might be able to tell us?
I find it interesting. So from talking to the different companies, there were a lot of different strategies that were being implemented. So some companies were putting it in a gym or trying to prevent people eating unhealthy food, because it is true that exercise does reduce the stress levels. But what they were finding was that the people that were going to the gym were the people that do exercise anyway. They weren't attracting the people that were suffering necessarily from the stress. Other people were trying to put in mindfulness practices. Mindfulness works for some people and is very effective for some people, but it's a spectrum and it works less well with other people. And other people need to look at what's blocking them from getting to that relaxed state. So when I work with companies, I talk quite a lot. I help them to understand the physiological side, and then we give tools. And then, you know, I encourage them as much as possible to educate others and to normalize it. So to understand that, well, you know, this is a stressful moment. You know, our company is going through a lot of change, and to be tolerant of each other. And I also encourage them to find compassion. So, and it's interesting because it's easy to find compassion for people that we identify with, for people that we like. It's much harder to find compassion for the people that we find challenging. And that is the work. You know, how do you find compassion for this annoying employee that you believe is lazy or that you believe is not pulling their weight? And you need to talk to the person to find out what they're struggling with. And I want to say rehumanize them.
That's interesting. So would that involve things like having a meeting with the boss and the employee, or what are some of the ways that you go about teaching that?
The work that I do, I mean, I give trainings for groups of people, and then sometimes issues arise. So for instance, you know, working into the European Commission, talking about resiliency, talking about stress management, and sometimes stuff comes up from the client, and then you need to kind of take it further in a different setting. But the generic tools are very useful for a lot of people, and then they can apply it in their own contexts. It's just giving a manager an awareness that he needs to be compassionate for the people that he wants to do certain things. It can be, you know, a real eye-opener for them that they need to be compassionate for people that they find difficult, for instance. And then it's for them to go away and take it further within their own context.
What resources do you offer to your clients, or where can they find you or learn more about you?
So when I'm working with a client, I will give them tools and exercises based on their individual circumstances. When I'm working in a company, obviously I will go in with a set training and then do trainings or coachings depending on the requirements of the client. I am offering currently through the lockdown period, I am offering a free support group on Monday evenings. And I also offer a free 30-minute coaching call if somebody's possibly interested in working with me. You can find me online, ruthfriedman.com, probably the best place to start.
I'll put a link down in the description so people can find it very easily. And Ruth, that's the end of our interview today. So is there something that you want to leave with? One final pearl of wisdom, maybe a technique that we can use for grounding, a personal favorite, or anything you want to sign off with, basically?
So my little pearl of wisdom then is to recognize that You know, we all go through difficult moments in our life, and that we're not as different from each other as we would like to imagine, and that we are interconnected, we're connected with each other, we're connected with the world. And it's important that we remember that, that we're not isolated, heads on legs running around, but that we're a whole person as an individual, but that also that our communities, and that we're part of something that's larger than we are. The more that we can recognize that, I think that in and of itself is something that will help calm us down.
Wise words, especially in these times.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Ruth, for today. It's fantastic speaking with you.
Okay, you're very welcome.
So ordinarily, this would be where I end the episode, but today Ruth has recorded 5 minutes of her grounding technique, so I'll leave you with that. Don't forget to subscribe in the meantime.
So just let's just take a moment and become aware of the sounds that you can hear in your environment. Maybe you can hear sound of traffic. Maybe you can hear sounds coming in from your neighbors, sound of my voice, any other sounds. And you might like to become aware of the quality of the light in your space, whether your eyes are open or closed. You might like to become aware of the temperature. And I invite you to become aware of the space around you, your position in the space you're standing in, the distance from walls, windows, doors, the height of the ceiling, and the ground under your feet. And I invite you to become aware of which parts of your feet are connected to the ground. Maybe your heels, maybe the balls of your feet, maybe your toes, maybe the sides of your feet. And notice how your weight is, whether your weight is more forwards or more back, more to the left or more to the right. And just experiment with that. And if you're sitting, I invite you to become aware of the support that's there for you from your chair. Contact between your body, your thighs, perhaps your back, perhaps your arms. Getting the support from the chair. And I invite you to become aware of your head and your face. And if there's tension, see if you can just allow it to be there without needing it to go away. And I invite you to become aware of the front of your body, your throat, your chest, and your belly. And I invite you to bring your awareness inside and notice how the inside of your body feels. Maybe there are parts of your body that feel more tense. Maybe there are other parts of your body that feel more relaxed. Maybe there are parts of your body that feel more warm and other parts that feel more cool. Or maybe it's pretty even. Just notice however it is. And I invite you to be aware that, you know, you're a whole person. You notice the whole of your body from your feet to your head, and that you become aware of your body as a whole. And I invite you also to recognize that in some way you are connected to other people in your life. And there are other people listening to this podcast. So that you get a sense of life, this connection to life that is outside of you. And just take the time that you need. And when you're ready, I invite you to come back and join us in this conversation that we're having together.